outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org.
Hey, everybody, it's Inside Outdoors, and I'm your host, Don Jordan. I'm here this morning with my partner, Rich Reardon, and our other partner, Alan Bronenberg. How are you fellows this morning?
Doing great.
Morning, Don.
Well, it's hotter than Hades there in Indianapolis or Bloomington today, isn't it?
That's what
it really is. There's nothing to breathe but moisture in the air.
Well, it sounds like a good August Hoosier day.
That's for sure.
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, anybody playing any horseshoes? Going to any picnics? You know?
You're not outside.
Yeah, I just came in from bush hogging a little while ago, and I'll tell you what, it was not comfortable.
Not comfortable. Well, I can sympathize with you.
Yeah.
I guess the first thing I do, just jump right into this, men, is that big news for a lot of people in Indiana is this bird feeding situation we've been
right.
having. And Rich and I were talking before the show a little bit about this. The DNR sent out a press release on this. I don't, a lot of people may already know this, but we're going to pass it along to you anyway. The DNR announced that 76 counties across the state can resume feeding birds, but ask that residents of the remaining counties keep their feeders down while the investigation into what is killing them continues. And they go on to point out that Monroe County is one of those counties. DNR recommends residents of following counties to continue to refrain from feeding birds: Allen, Carroll, Clark, Floyd, Hamilton, Hancock, Hendricks, Johnson, Lake, Marion, Monroe, Morgan, Porter, St. Joseph, Tippecanoe, and Whitley. So counties around Indianapolis, a bunch of counties way down south, and us, Johnson County and us, kind of in the middle here, and Morgan County too, can't start feeding our birds yet unless you want to face knocking off some birds with this strange disease that nobody has defined yet. What
yeah,
do you fellas have to say about that?
It's a little curious to me, Don. I mean, it seems a little arbitrary. You know, of course, I don't think we know exactly, at least they didn't say, what criteria they were using to get to this point. You know, it seemed to me that, you know, they may have pulled the trigger on this thing a little too early. Nobody certainly wants to, you know, be contributing to the death of, you know, millions of birds. I just am still not sure they have any sort of a handle on this at all. What's your latest and information on where, what's causing this, where this is going, and you know what they're trying to accomplish with all this?
Well, they do say, based on data, appears the bird illness is consistently affecting specific areas. Now, they don't tell us any more than that.
Yeah.
We're pretty much left with what they tell us. You know, they have they have their information tightly controlled up there nowadays. Whatever they allow us to know is what we know.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. Do you actually feed your birds in the summertime?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, right. I feed them year round.
Yeah. Okay. We had never done that. We start feeding around, Halloween, and stop, you know, a little before right around Memorial Day. Now the hummingbirds is a different story. We feed them, of course, when the first one shows up. And we have been feeding our hummingbirds. I wasn't convinced from anything I heard that any of the plausible or even wildly speculated causes of the bird deaths carried over to hummingbirds in any way. So we've been feeding our hummingbirds all along, but we don't feed birds in the summertime anyway. We have went out and sterilized our feeders though for the fall.
Well, that's always a good idea. They're all still advising, if you're going ahead, if you're in one of those counties where they say it's okay to feed birds.
Yeah.
They want you to scrub it with soap and water and a short soak in 10% bleach solution.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks.
And every 2 weeks. Say, okay.
All right. Hummingbird feeders should be cleaned at least once a week with a 10% bleach solution.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to rinse thoroughly or you're going to knock off some hummingbirds.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about that. Yeah. They won't tolerate much of that halide solution. That's for sure.
No, they won't. Not like not like the former president.
No, unfortunately, no.
Okay,
but then, to be fair, we're not using it rectally on the hummingbirds, so we don't really know.
Oh, my. Poor hummingbirds. I hate to think of that.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good news that they've, they seem to be zeroing in on, according to data, specific areas where they have problems. It for the life of me, I can't imagine, given the wide geographic dispersal of those counties, the difference in geography of those counties, what could possibly be at work here?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It will be interesting to see.
Well, hey, I want to.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Just going to say, in the past, I dealt with some of these things where birds were dying at people's front yards and things, and got in with the Fish and Wildlife Service guy up in Lake County.
Yeah.
And we asked people through the newspaper up there to collect any dead birds that they found in their yard. This was related to granular pesticide.
Yeah.
That they put on their yards. And the suspicion was that these birds were ingesting that granule pesticide and dying just kabang right on the spot. But
yeah.
You had to collect the birds and have them tested within a matter of a few hours or the stuff dissipated and you could never find it.
Exactly. So
it's hard to test birds for that sort of thing, really hard.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you do that. I can't imagine. First of all, I'm not certain everybody has the ability to do that kind of testing. And there has to be a cost associated with it.
Yeah, I'm sure that not very few people have the ability to do that. It's such a minute, they're testing their brain, right? A bird does not have a very big brain, although it's capable of lots of, intelligent behavior.
Right.
But there's not a lot to work with. The size is small.
No.
So you got to be pretty lucky, I guess, is what they were telling me. They never did pin that on the granular pesticide up there because they could never get the sample. So,
it took us forever to do the DDT. That was a postulation for quite a while before anyone ever really sort of proved it. And I'm not sure it was proven to everybody's satisfaction, but that took forever to get resolved, as you remember.
Right. Well, it's one of those questions that we may never have an answer to, but I'm sure that the birds will survive this. If it is connected to the cicadas, it should be going away.
Right.
Unless it's really established so heavily in the bird populations that they can't get rid of it, you know?
Well, it does seem like they're coming back. We've been seeing a few bluebirds around. Of course, they're not young, so I don't know why they would just return rather than, we'd see them next year when they started hatching and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know the gestation about bluebirds. Maybe they
have 21, 25 days.
Yeah, so maybe they are coming back. But we have seen a few, and seems like bird population has gone up a little bit in the last couple weeks. I don't really know why. I wasn't seeing much at when we went camping, but Don said maybe there's a little less in the woods than you might find elsewhere. But it just seemed like it was a lacking in terms of wildlife in general.
Well, the woods were like a desert. I just came in from bush hogging, and I can tell you the woods have got nothing on the floors. The trees that normally have, little berries or nuts or whatever on them are pretty sparse. So there's not a lot out there for them to eat right now. And, our old friend Charles Darwin, predicted that, I mean, not every bird is as susceptible to every chemical as any other bird. I mean, the genetic makeup of them is such, just like us, that not all of them will end up dying from some of these chemicals. Some of them may actually be immune genetically, who knows? But the ones that come back, fortunately, are the ones that are more likely to survive in the environment that we've made for them. So as they slowly come back, we should see some slightly hardier birds as well.
Well, I was just, when Rich mentioned his bluebirds, we had at least two sets of nestlings in our bluebird house this year.
Yeah.
And they've been around checking it out, maybe going to try again. So there's been at least two successful production of bluebirds at our house, and they don't seem to have been affected by the disease. Of course, they don't come to feeders. They don't come to your feeder. So
right.
They're probably less likely to get it that way anyway.
Well, our bluebirds in the winter anyway, we always feed them peanuts on the tables and stuff. So, when we stop feeding them peanuts, I just don't see them as much. So, I will before next week, when we meet again, put some peanuts out on the tables, and cause we still have some left, and I'll see if I can't, see any red or, bluebirds out there. Cause well,
are we talking bluebirds or blue jays?
Blue jays. Yeah. Blue jays.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, but bluebirds won't eat peanuts.
Yeah,
blue
no.
Blue jays will.
Blue jays, yeah.
Yes.
Did I say bluebirds? Because I meant blue jays.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, you said bluebirds.
That's oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
I thought that's what you meant. I see so few blue birds that when I see, hear someone say blue birds, I just assume they mean blue jays. But I probably should have picked up on that distinction myself.
Right.
All you have to do, Alan, is put up a bluebird box and you'll have bluebirds.
Oh, no kidding.
Simple as it gets. Put it, you know, they like an open spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a dove box, Don?
No, there's 1,000.
Okay.
I can't tell you the dimensions right off the top of my head, okay. But the Indiana Bluebird Society could. And I think that guy lives over in Brown County.
Okay.
You can probably find him pretty easy.
All right, I'll make some. I love those little bluebirds. I've seen them occasionally, but, you know, we rarely see them here.
It's a fairly small box with a small hole in it. It's not as big as you might think, but you'll see them on, if you just Google it, you can go to images, you'll see a bunch of them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you want the one that opens, that pivots on the top and the front open, swings up for cleaning
it out.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Good call. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
That's really the Bluebird Society used to be much more active than they are now. You probably have noticed on the 46 going to Nashville, all of the bluebird boxes that are sitting on the fences out in there.
Is that what those are?
Those are all bluebird boxes.
Okay.
And, I think pretty sure the Bluebird Society guy over there put those boxes up. He put up thousands of them all over. And we have a lot of bluebirds here, actually. If you want them, you got to just put up a place for them and they'll be there.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's great. Now, one thing I did notice on 46 on the way to Nashville is all the trees that have fallen down across 46 between here and Nashville. Just, I'll bet there's been 24 big trees along that sloping land that have fallen across the entire road there in a number of places. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but a lot of them weren't dead, standing deadwood. They were live trees that had just unrooted themselves from the sides of those hills and landed across 46.
Oh, just eroded away or blown down?
Blown down, both. I think. Or both, yeah. Who knows? But I was surprised. I mean, a lot of them were not standing deadwood. They were live trees. You know, a lot of it's right there when you come out of Nashville, that first couple of miles. Boy, there was a ton of, I bet there was 12 of them there. But then as you go on towards Belmont and then further on into Bloomington, you know, there's a bunch of them blown down just at random places along the way there. So don't know what's going on. It looked like it probably was erosion, and then the roots just got loose, and with all the weight of the leaves on top, they've just blown over.
Well, you know, I lost a huge limb off of my big hickory tree in one of our windstorms.
Right.
There's been a lot of trees and big limbs down all over.
Oh, yeah.
The lumberjacks are busy.
They are.
They really are. They're pretty good at it too.
Yeah.
Pretty good at it.
Well, I need to get my saw and splitter out there. I've got trees down all over the woodlands from either standing deadwood that's come down or trees that have came over in the dry dirt or whatever. But boy, I've got more firewood to get to.
All kinds of ash trees.
The ash trees are all gone, of course. I still have probably a couple dozen of them that are standing up that keep cracking and blowing over that I haven't gotten down. But maples, I'm losing a lot of maples.
Soft maple, hard maple?
Hard maples, yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Good firewood, though.
Good firewood.
Yeah, right. And by the way, our spignut hickory tree was just loaded with acorns this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm, you know, everywhere. So I think it's the nut production and food production for these various animals is just like everything else has been lately. You know, it's spotty. that some places in Monroe County had lots of cicadas, some places had very few cicadas. You know, I think that the food production on trees is just like that, because you'll hear somebody say, man, I had a lot of hickory nuts of, you know, a lot of shag barks this year, and somebody else, I had none, you know?
Yeah, we didn't either. Yeah, last year there was hardly a hickory nut anywhere, but the walnuts just went crazy, and I couldn't figure that out.
Well, walnuts, you know, they're supposed to have that two-year cycle.
Right.
And the guy's walnut tree across the street last year was its low cycle, I think, because there was only a few nuts that came across.
And yeah.
This year he may have more. I haven't really looked at it yet. It's still got leaves.
Well, the walnuts are kind of small this year. At the orchard, all of Mrs. B's apple trees have all got very small apples on them, smaller than I probably have ever seen. Every tree's got apples on it, which is kind of unusual. Usually there's a couple that don't get, you know, pollinated, but this year they all did, they all produced, but they're really small.
Yeah, well, that's odd, since everything else seemed to be just, you know, full speed ahead growing this year, at least early.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you looked at the corn crop lately, but man.
Oh, corn is exploding. It's huge.
They're 12 feet tall at least. And
they are.
Some of them have 8 ears on them. Can you imagine?
It's going to be if they actually got a crop out, they're going to have some pretty good corn.
Well, I'd say that there's a lot of them did get a crop out.
Yep.
I recently crossed Iowa and the Dakotas, and man, there's more corn than you can shake your finger at. You know, it's just overabundant. Of course, everything's ethanol in those states now.
Right.
You know, they're going for the E85, the 15% alcohol.
Yep.
Which they put on their pumps and give you the choice, but at least some of them give you the choice of no ethanol gas in that area. So I filled up a couple times with no ethanol gas just to give my truck a break.
I try not to use the ethanol gas, especially in anything I have that's a small one cycle engine.
Right. That's the ones that it really kills.
Yeah,
it dries out to all of the gaskets or rubber parts.
It does.
That's what happens eventually. That's where the failure happens. So, say not to move on, but did you guys see this thing about conservation officers arresting a guy for selling fish or buying fish down in Jennings County?
I did see that.
Did see that? Well, I hadn't. I just popped. Did you talk about it on the show or anything?
No,
I did not know.
Well, anyway, after they say they did a 2-year investigation of the owner of Kimberly Pay Lake in Comiskey County, Comiskey, man. Oh, in Comiskey, the town of Comiskey.
Yeah.
Has resulted in a felony charge being filed against this guy, Billy G. Campbell, age 80, of Comiskey. Been charged with illegal sale or shipment of wildlife protected by law, have a market value of at least $500 but less than $5,000, which is a level 6 felony.
Oh man.
Campbell began the investigation began in 2019, documented multiple violations, including purchasing sport catfish to be placed in the Pay Lake. A person may not sell, barter, or exchange, or offer to sell, barter, or exchange, or purchase to, or offer to purchase fish protected by law in Indiana. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's a little different story than that. Those people selling bluegills to those grocery stores up in northern Indiana last year. Do you remember that?
Yep.
I don't quite get the distinction there.
I don't either.
This guy was running a Pay Lake. Maybe that's the reason why, instead of a grocery store.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't understand exactly what he was doing. Not from the article, I didn't. I mean, I thought it was, you know, I mean, I first, when I started reading it, I thought, oh, it's, he's got an unregistered pay lake and that's the way they're getting him. But,
well, it says he was buying fish that somebody caught at Lake Monroe, you know, some fisherman's caught some big catfish and sold it to him.
Yeah. Okay.
And put him in his pay lake. Right.
You're, so
I guess
okay.
that's illegal.
Gotcha.
And, but on the other hand, if you buy bluegills from a guy who you know caught them, it says, in his possession, it's illegal to do so, according to last year's information anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, now that we know that the possession limits on fish in Indiana is just a joke, really, because the possession limits don't apply once they're in your freezer.
Right.
You know, you may be able to have an unlimited number, say 250 bluegills, and put those in your freezer. Go out and catch 250 more the next day. Put those in your freezer. Or crappies, say you get 25 a day, right? And just keep putting them in your freezer. Well, they don't count as your possession limit. It's only what you have on your person.
Yeah, that's that's fascinating. Well, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that the guy down here in Chapel Hill got nailed for, you know, selling a deer venison meat out of his freezer all through the year. And they basically caught him with freshly butchered meat off season, which is pretty easy to do since the season isn't very long. I remember they hit him pretty hard with that one.
Well, I'm glad they get somebody pretty hard.
Yeah.
Too often we hear of game violations taking place and nothing happening to the violators, even though they're caught red-handed. I don't know how to explain that exactly.
I just saw another article that came up on a computer screen. You know, they send you, when you get on your computer, the first thing it shows you a bunch of news clips on it. And one of them was ammo shortage deepens. Evidently, the ammo shortage is not getting any better and isn't expected to, as far as anybody can see.
Isn't that odd?
Isn't it odd?
We lost Don there for a second.
Yep. Well, you know, one of the things is it's always suspicious. And of course, part of it's supply and demand. You know, that's easy to explain for a while. You know, the price of ammo just went through the roof. I mean, you go buy something now, that's an off caliber, things that I was paying $1 a shell for, you know, they're $4 or $5 a shell now for like a 30, 40 Craig. That's if you can get them at all, or any kind of specialty ammo. You know, the price just keeps going up. And as long as the price keeps going up, they just keep extending the lack of supply. So a little suspicious there in my mind. Of course, it's that way with anything. It's not just ammo. The same pattern's following almost everything that's produced. Did we get Don back?
Well, for a second there, and then he disappeared.
For a second, then he's gone again.
Yeah, I think his...
we'll see. We'll see. I don't, you know, I'm not sure what that's going to mean to hunting season. I'm pretty sure that most of the guys who are avid hunters probably have cases of that stuff stockpiled away at this point. It's people like me who just, hey, I think I'll go get some ammo and shoot my guns today. Those are the people who are probably left out of the mix at this point. Cause boy, I don't see anywhere I go in, sporting stores, Rural King, the shelves are just bare.
Right.
There's just nothing there. It's just a little more than suspicious in my mind.
Am I back?
There you go. Yeah.
You are back.
Oh, well, I somehow got muted. I must have done it to myself somehow. Hey, yeah, on the ammo thing.
Yeah.
I was lucky to have purchased a huge bag full of 22 ammo several years ago and still have it, you know? So any shooting I want to do with my 22, I'm covered.
Yeah. I've got, you know, I stopped using the 22 a long time ago, and I had a bunch of shells just in a box or a jar, I mean. And I was going to like, okay, you know, I don't know how old these are. I don't know how good they are. They've got to be 40 years old. And
I bet they work just fine.
And you know what? I thought, well, I'll bury this somewhere. And I thought, eh, you know, I'll just keep them. So, yeah, that's the 22s that I've got are probably 40 years old. I've had them, and I've moved them everywhere. We've moved and from garage to garage and wherever. And now I'm glad I kept them because you can't find any anywhere.
Well, I hope to be doing a little target practicing here in the next few days. So I'll probably use up about half of my allotted supply of lifetime ammunition that I'm ever going to get.
There you go.
Just having a little fun shooting at targets. So, you know, that may be the last go round.
Well, I was just saying, Don, when you were gone, I mean, it's guys like me and you who get hurt the worst. The guys who are avid gun and hunters probably have cases of this stuff stocked away because they pay attention and they stockpile it. I'm like you. I get the notion to go out and shoot some stuff, and I'll go to the store and try to get some ammo, and there's none there.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, even the big A Sportsman's Guide is where I used to always buy ammo, you know, mail order.
And, yeah.
They would have everything. They would, you know, literally in the past. Now they have nothing. Everything is, it's all listed, but it's all out of stock.
Yep.
You know, not available.
Well, and you know, some, I noticed I had one, I got onto one of those sites, was going to order some things, and they had a button on there that showed that was out of stock. Some things they'd let you order, and then I'd order them, and then I'd get a notice about a month later saying, shipment unsure, items still back ordered, we're canceling your order. You know, here's,
right.
We're letting your credit card go as well. So it's bad. It's deep, it's wide. Not sure there's any good solution anytime soon.
Well, I don't know that there is either, especially with the way things are right now, with the threat of violence hanging permeably in the air.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm just going to go fishing.
Sounds like an excellent idea. I was going to bring up, you know, the usual, I see the same DNR police blotter you do, Don. All the notices about pulling dead bodies out of water, bodies of water all over the state. It's
right.
It's been bad. It has not been good.
Well, more than usual, I think, unless it's just law enforcement is reporting them this way.
Yeah.
More often. I really don't know. We'll have to see some statistics if they ever produce any on this subject.
Yeah. That would be interesting to know because it does seem like it's more, more prevalent right now than it has been. It's odd because it's young people. It's an 80-year-old man. It's a 29-year-old kid. It's all over the board. It doesn't make any sense really.
I heard this. I'm not sure that it's true or not, but was there a drowning at Fairfax Beach?
There was.
Like a couple of weeks. There was. Yeah. I thought there was.
Yeah, in 6 foot of water.
Do you know any information about that other than the beach was closed at the time?
Other than the beach was closed, and this person was on a boat with some other people, dove in, and they found him, you know, submerged and expired shortly after that.
Wonder what caused him to drown.
He was said he was in 6 foot of water. They didn't venture any, you know, likely reason for it. Usually, Don, what we hear, you know, not always, but, you know, I would say there's a high probability that we'll find out that this person had an extremely high blood alcohol level and was diving in.
Of course.
Yeah.
But, gee, you know, to just dive in and not even come up once.
Nope.
You know, kaput, instant death. I'm just kind of shocked at that. I don't know why I should be.
Well, you know, it was just in 6 foot of water. I don't think that means he probably hit the bottom, but, you know, I mean, if somebody dives in and tries to stay under, you know, for a good while and swim underwater.
Maybe he came up and conked his head on the bottom of the boat or something.
You know, it could have been. And you know what? They're just not saying. So who knows?
I got a kind of an ambiguous story here that you guys have all seen on, since you get these same emails from the DNR. Says they want to hear your ideas on fishing, hunting, trapping, and other fish and wildlife related regulations in Indiana, including special permits regarding those topics. Now, that's about as general a statement as I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Through September 15th, you can use a convenient online form to contribute ideas and provide input on issues the DNR has identified for consideration. So they're telling you what you can comment on, basically. Yeah. That form is at on.in.gov/gotinput. That's GOTINPUT, all lowercase except the IN. So that's on.in.gov/gotinput. I probably confused everybody with that. But anyway, it says it allows you to comment on ideas from the DNR Division of Fish and Wildlife. It also allows you to propose your own ideas and any fish and wildlife regulation topic. So if you want to complain about a regulation, or you want your particular kind of weapon to be used in bear hunting or whatever, you can go to this place on the internet and let the DNR know what you think. How's that?
Yeah.
I'm always suspicious when the government says they want to hear my opinion, because generally that's not true.
Well, it's all a pro forma thing, don't you? I mean, don't you think?
I absolutely think exactly so. I think they have something in mind. I think they probably have a special interest group out there who's going to flood the site with exactly the same specific topic, and it'll give them cover to make any changes they want that this special interest group wants to make.
Well, and they can say that they had lots of public input that
yep.
way. We asked Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah.
And they told us.
Yeah, and you all said. that's funny. That's really funny.
Well, as far as the fishing scene right now, you know, I don't think there's much going except at night with the kind of heat wave that you got.
I haven't seen much activity on Facebook or anything, you know, where people usually drop in their pictures. The temperature of Lake Monroe is now up to, well, it's down a little bit from last week. It's 79.5, but 80 degrees is basically it.
Yeah.
And it's down to 538, so apparently they've left a fair amount out to get it back to normal. I went bound by the spillway, and it's looking like they're letting less out. So,
they're getting down to the bottom of that little stairway on the spillway house there, Rich. Mm-hmm. And usually when it gets to the bottom of that stairway, that metal stairway on the side, that's right at about normal pool.
Yeah. And so anyway, but this time of year, it's usually pretty slow with fishing. And, you know, I didn't mention this before or during the show, but just so you know, we are still on Zoom. We'll be back hopefully fairly soon, but you can't call in. I just meant to mention that.
Yeah, it's not really that we don't want to be back in the studio, but we did have a little problem with the epidemic.
Yeah, somebody showed up with COVID, and they had been vaccinated, so that was a little scary. But apparently, they're doing okay. So,
but yeah, if anybody's got anything that is a burning topic, most of you know Rich and Don's email or the Inside Outdoor Facebook site. By all means, if you've got comments or got questions, put them there. They'll get picked up, and we'd love to talk about them here as well.
Yeah, Facebook's the easiest way to get through. Inside Outdoors is on there, and easy to find. You know, I did want to mention that I saw an article about them dropping in some, it looked like a big old black bunch of tubing or something, but they're trying to drop in some fish. What do I want to say, Don? Like where fish can breed.
Fish structure.
Yeah.
Habitat, yeah.
And that's, I don't know why they're throwing all that plastic in there, but and it seems like it'd just be a good place for people to lose their lures. But I guess it's as bad with a stump, but you know.
What the fish structures they built and put in there the last time or a couple years ago now was they were all built from pallets.
Yeah, so they were pallets, but they were wood.
Right, and they were nailed together, you know.
This looked like black tubing, kind of like you might see in a kid's, like playground or something. It was not natural. It was going to be there forever.
I wondered what was it in any shape, or was it just these loose tubes, or what?
Well, it was all kind of pulled around into a big bunch of it. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but it did. It looked like something like a kid would crawl around in a playground.
That makes catfish breed in holes, you know.
Yeah,
could be.
So that would definitely be welcome to them. I don't know if that's going to help out crappies or bluegills or walleyes much, but I'm sure the catfish will be very happy.
Don, did they post the location of those habitat?
Yes.
I thought they did.
Yes, they have a interactive map on the DNR's website that shows you where those habitats are. And at Lake Monroe, they're mostly right across the bay from Saddle Creek out to IU Point over there.
Right.
That's where most of them are.
Yeah, that would...
They got pinpointed, though.
I suspect that actually worked.
It absolutely does work.
Yeah.
It absolutely does work. And it'd be worth looking for them on your locator if you're out there fishing.
Oh, I'll bet it would be.
I've fished on one of them, didn't do very good, but I didn't realize what I was fishing on at the time.
Yeah.
I would have stayed and tried a little longer, you know, because they show fish on them when you look at your locator.
Oh, I'll bet they do.
They have fish on them because there's no place else for them to be.
There's not. That bottom's pretty flat and just mud right there, isn't it? Right there where you're talking
bare.
About.
Yeah, it's bare, just like most of the lake bottom.
Yeah.
Bare and muddy.
You know, we talked for years. I'd been a proponent of allowing people around the lake who have property around the lake to put in a single dock in front of their property because, you know, in the years before we had, private lakes up in northern Indiana and southern Indiana where we had cottages, that was the best place on the lake to fish. There would be people.
Right.
You know, if you weren't fishing off your dock, somebody would be floating up there to fish right next to it anyway. And I, the current individual who manages the lake is rabidly against such proliferation of docks around the lake, and probably won't happen until after he leaves. It sure would be an excellent source of income for the DNR to allow that, not to mention great habitat for the current fishermen who are already on the lake.
Well, if I lived on the lake, I'd want a dock. I can see why they don't want docks, but on the other hand, I know that everybody that ever had, I lived on lakes a lot, and in Wisconsin, everybody had a brush pile within easy casting distance of the dock.
You better believe it.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes for a lot of fish habitat.
It sure does. It sure does. And, I find very little substance in the notion that we don't want individual docks around the lake when they've allowed the giant monstrosities to be built on several locations that in my mind look far worse than individual docks around the lake. So I find very little, in the way of constructive or legitimate objection to individual docks when what we've done here has been allowed. So not sure I buy the current thinking of the current management of the lake.
Well, boys, I about talked myself out for today. What about you guys?
Well, we're getting there.
We are. Hey, I did see one thing today that I mentioned a couple weeks ago, maybe, frogs and toads. I'm finally starting to see little toads all over the place. So I don't know if the late freeze held them up or what. Sudden seeing toads and frogs.
Funny you say that. I've started seeing a few toads around myself, and I saw one like a few weeks back, but that was one,
Yeah, right.
But I've seen some more this week, so I agree with you. It seems like they're coming out all of a sudden.
Yeah, I just suspect that this late freeze that we had probably had something to do with it. It had to. But I don't know what else would have caused
it. Hey, boys, I'm going to have to sign off here.
All right, Don.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay.
You bet.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I tell you, I've noticed that the tree frogs I've been hearing more and more, too. So
yes, me too.
I guess it really is something to do with that freeze.
It must be. I don't remember. it's August. I don't ever remember seeing little tiny baby toads hopping around in August.
No.
I just don't. So it has been an odd year. I just am always amazed at the variety of ways nature has to fulfill itself in challenging times. It's pretty powerful. It's very powerful.
Well, I'm glad to see him though, because it was scary to kind of just not see any of them for a while.
Yeah. Usually when I'm out bush hogging and I'm like pulling some logs off of the path or something, I almost always see, snakes, black snake, copperheads, whatever.
Right.
I've not seen many snakes this year either. And I usually, there's a couple of places where, the black snakes just kind of, they own that little piece of ground.
Right.
And I let them. And I just haven't seen many snakes either. Of course, it's, probably 100 degrees out in those spots or in the fields now, and I'm sure they're probably looking for someplace cooler than that.
Right.
So that may have something to do with it, too.
Well, I have seen a couple. A friend of mine, this is kind of weird, but on the front of the house, there was a bird's nest up in one of the, the lights maybe next to your door kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was off the side of the hip of the wall, and this black snake was all the way up on the window, crossed to the door.
Oh my God!
Across the door and going into the nest. So I'm sure he was eating the eggs in there.
Yes, he was.
And it was a big one. I mean, if you can imagine, that was probably a good six, seven feet.
Oh yeah.
They can get pretty huge in Indiana.
Extremely big. And some of those, you know, just end up dying of old age. We had one out in the back. There's a walnut tree in the back of the field. It's got vines all over it, so it's a great place for snakes to climb up and get around in. Yeah. And I saw that snake for years.
Yep.
When I bush hogged back there, and I finally started watching for him to make sure I didn't hit him. And then I was walking back there one summer and saw him kind of in the vines. Mm-hmm. And he was just laying up there dead. He was huge. I mean, huge. Size of a juice can around, and very, very long. He was at least as long as I am tall. And, you know, nothing wrong with him. You know, nothing had killed him. It looks like he just had died of old age. So, pretty interesting, black snakes. I'm not sure I've seen any copperheads, get and stay that big, but, the black snake seems to, they seem to survive around here for a long time.
Well, everybody should know that a black snake is really not a dangerous snake. They may look dangerous. They may scare the heck out of you, but they really won't do anything. They're good to have around because they take lots of mice and things like that. And it's really a snake that's a friend of the humans rather than being something to be scared of.
It really is. That's where I'll see them. I'll see them. You know, there'll be limbs down, kind of together. Small trees that are on the ground, and you know, mice live in there. And well, I'll tell you what, if there's mice living in there, there'll be a black snake, you know, the length of, you know, his whole body stretched out, just sitting there waiting for a mouse to go by. Cause when you pick the tree up and pull it off the path and move it to the side, the black snake will just be laying there like, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't reach down there to pick that tree up.
Yeah, well, I've seen quite a few in my life, and never felt threatened by one.
You know,
just scared.
Yeah,
it does something to the reptilian part of your brain, you know, which is like what, the amygdala or something. But
they hook straight to that portion of your brain.
Right, you want to run away when you see one.
Right from your eyeballs, right to that part of your brain, right to your nervous system.
Yeah, absolutely. But I tell you what, there are a lot of things that are good around you, and although you kind of think, well, they shouldn't be, but those are one of them.
Well, I know one thing that's been a little troublesome this year, and that's the horse flies. Oh man,
really? Got a lot, huh?
Oh wow! I'll go down the stairway to the water. And if I haven't put on just a ton of bug spray, they will absolutely be all over me, biting me. They're terrible. There's every time I get in the car and drive out with, the windows down, there'll be one fly in there, and I'll roll the window up when I get to the road and put the air conditioning on, and I've got him trapped inside with me. I've not seen this many horse flies, and I can't tell you when. They're just everywhere. Everywhere I go, there are giant horse flies, and they are biting. You know, I suppose it'd probably be a good year to use horse flies for a bait.
Yeah.
Potentially, because they're so big, they're so fat, and they're just everywhere.
I've really not had that problem over here. It's so funny how we've been talking about, Don was just saying how, you know, trees are, you know, got nuts in one place and not another. It seems like things are pocketed much more extremely than it used to be, because I haven't really run into that trouble. It doesn't mean that I haven't run into a few of them, but they don't seem to be overwhelming over here. And we're just on the other side of the lake from you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's the deer, you know, or what. I mean, the horse flies, I'm pretty sure are, you know, suck juice out of, living things.
Right.
And I know that, you know, deer flies do that in the woods. I don't notice as many deer flies, but the horse flies, geez. You know what? It must be the deer. Because I remember when we had the farm and we had cattle, The horse flies were terrible. I mean, we'd have to buy the special goop to treat the cows with, because the horse flies were just thick. Yeah. Out there. It must have something to do with the deer, because the deer are starting to get thick again here.
Yeah, I'm not seeing too many of them over here, but, they're around, but it's not been quite that bad.
Well, they have a bear ring around all the bottoms of all of our apple trees. So they come up and nip the bottom apples off of all the trees every night. So they are never far away here, Rich.
Well, and those apples definitely probably attract them pretty well.
Oh, absolutely. That, and, then in the fall, it's the persimmons. We've got so many persimmon trees here. And, man, they love those persimmons. I've often thought that there's got to be some sort of premium for the deer who live on this property, because they're extremely and exotically well-fed. Persimmons. They're extremely well-fed deer.
Right. Well, I tell you what, we're running out of time. We got about, 2.5-3 minutes left.
Oh, and my.
I did want to say something, and this is slightly off to topic from the outdoors, but Andrew Cuomo has resigned.
Wow.
Which is, harassment allegations, right?
Yeah.
And maybe he deserves it, and I have no idea, because I'm not a prosecutor of what's happened. I would probably think that people are not lying about that. But what really irks me about this whole thing, and I guess I want to say it out loud, because we're coming up on a future election again and everything else, but didn't Donald Trump, didn't he get caught saying grab him by the and I mean, just say all this stuff and admit to it, and there's nothing been said, and we've lost people right and left. It's just unbelievable to me that people don't complain more about this stuff. Although he deserves probably what he got, as far as Cuomo. But anyway, I just want to throw that out. We got to go. But
it's been fun.
Yeah.
We'll do this again next week.
We will. And thanks for being on. And we'll hear from Don again. I don't know what happened to him, but he'll be back.
Buddy Bill, if you're listening, I hope you're well.
Yep. We love you, Bill. And we'll be back next week. Talk to you later.
See you guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.